You may have picked up this CD because you think the information may be helpful, or you're skeptical. After all, volumes have been written on health, and here's a guy who thinks he can condense it all down to one CD. One thing's for sure, you are interested in health, and I commend you for that. During this time, I hope to share some ideas, some principles that you can apply to your life. You're probably going to hear some new things, some of which will be difficult to accept. Other things will go against everything you've ever been taught regarding health. I would encourage you to keep an open mind. If at the end it seems to be nonsense, well, you've wasted a few minutes of your time. On the other hand, if at the end it seems to make sense, please follow up on the ideas and information. I really don't like the term health. There are so many different and confusing meanings and misconceptions. Many people think that health is being able to drag yourself out of bed in the morning, find your way to a cup of coffee, stumble through 8 hours of work, spend the evening dozing in front of the TV, and then drag yourself, exhausted, off to bed. Most people associate health with how they feel. Yet, thousands of people feel good today, and tomorrow? Tomorrow they're going to be dead from heart attacks or told they have a terminal disease. They're not healthy today, and probably have not been healthy for years. Clearly, you can have an absence of health without a presence of the symptoms of disease. Health is not feeling good. It is every aspect of your life working properly. It's expressing the most, your maximum potential, in every aspect of life. We really understand that health is more than just how you feel. In fact, we express most every aspect of life in terms of health. We talk of social relationships like, they don't have a healthy marriage, or my golf game is not very healthy right now, or work is not a healthy environment, meaning interactions and relationships are poor. The point is that how well the body, including our brain, is working impacts upon our relationship with people, how good our golf game is, how well our children do in school, or whether they excel in sports, how you handle stress. Health, then, is really being all you can be in life, expressing your maximum potential in every facet of your life. And that is dependent upon how well your body is working, how well every organ and tissue and cell functions. Perhaps we need to get away from the term health and talk about life. How much life do you have in your body? How much life is in your relationships with family, friends, and neighbors? How alive is your work? Maybe we should ask your boss that question. How alive are you? Are you experiencing all you can and should be in the life you've been given? If not, why not? If not, how can you do better? We all have an inherited or genetic potential for life and health. Most of us have not inherited the IQ of Einstein. Most of us will never play basketball like Michael Jordan, or sing like Bocelli, or paint like Rembrandt. These are genetic potentials, absolutes we inherit from our parents. But while we may never be the best there is in any endeavor, wouldn't it be great to be the best we can be? We may not have the genetic potential to live to 120, but if we have the potential to live a healthy, happy, productive life to, say, 100, wouldn't you want to live that long? We all have a genetic potential, an inherited limitation, for every part of our life. And, unless you can choose your grandparents, well, there's really very little you can do to improve upon that potential. But there are many things you can do to reach that potential. And I believe the potential for all of us in every area of life is much greater than we realize. Who knows? Maybe you are another Einstein, Jordan, Bocelli, or Rembrandt. I'm reminded of the guy who was asked if he could play the piano. He answered, "I don't know, I never tried." My apologies to the piano players out there. The point is, we really do not know what we can accomplish in life until we try, and having your body work at its fullest is part of that effort. So while we are limited by our inherited potential and cannot do much about it, we can do a good deal about our inherent potential, our inborn ability to be all we can be, an ability that can be tapped into by all of us in order to have a great life. This inherent ability, unlike our inherited ability, is the same in all of us. If you are alive, and I guess we can assume if you are hearing this talk, you are alive, you have an inborn or innate intelligence running your body, causing your heart to beat regardless of IQ, producing insulin, adrenaline, cortisone, with no thought on your part. Your inborn potential is the same as any great athlete. He or she just inherited a little better or a little more physical matter. You see, your inherited potential determines how great you can be in life, what level you reach in every area. Your inherited potential enables you to get there. So what are some of the things that we can do and need to know? The first thing you need to know is how fantastic this innate intelligence is, and that it runs the body perfectly. It can create you out of two little cells, one invisible to the naked eye, the other about the size of a period at the end of a sentence. Approximately 9 months later, those two cells become a fully formed human being, all parts in place and working. We marvel at this miracle of life, this walking, talking, breathing human being from two cells. In fact, you're going to breathe 3,000 gallons of air a day without any thought on your part. Your heart will beat 40,000 times a year and speed up when you exercise, all because of this innate intelligence. This beating pumps 2.5 gallons of blood a minute. You may put good food in your mouth in an effort to be healthy, but it's the innate intelligence of the body that will digest more than 0.5 ton of it every year and make it into living tissue. To do this, it will produce 2.5 quarts of digestive juice every day. And if your body's working right, it will produce a continuous coating in the stomach so that the strong acid will not burn a hole in your stomach. I could go on for the rest of this CD, but you get the point. Our inborn wisdom can run the body perfectly for an entire lifetime. Listen to your body. No, this is not some new age exercise. Your body is not going to speak to you in audible words. If it does, you may want to talk to someone about it. But listening to your body is important. We all do it, just not very frequently. And, as a result, we have lost the ability, except in a few areas. Our body tells us when we are thirsty, when we need to empty our bladder or bowels, when our stomach is empty, when we need sleep. Pain is the most common message we get. Try touching a hot stove, and your body will say, "That's not a good idea," loud and clear. That's pretty much it for most people. And even in these areas, we often ignore the message. People will take an aspirin for a headache or worse. A very famous professional basketball player maintains his career was cut short because he took painkillers and then went out and played on injured knees. People will drink a beer or coffee when thirsty. Sure, these will provide some of the needed fluids, but your body's worse off. People take drugs to stay awake or just ignore the sleep messages. One area we rarely ignore is the empty stomach message, and we really can. You see, your body just tells you the stomach is empty, not that it needs to be filled. But hunger pangs are uncomfortable, so we fill the stomach. You can misinterpret the messages or respond to them incorrectly. Our stomach does not have to be full all the time. In fact, your body actually tells you when you have filled your stomach too much. Like at Thanksgiving, you're as stuffed as the turkey. But you insist you still have room for pumpkin pie. You may have room, but that doesn't mean you need it. I have room in my basement for plenty of junk. Doesn't mean it belongs there. Here's the point. It's important to listen, but more important, to properly respond to the messages. Did you ever have a hankering for some kind of food? It may be your body needing the food. I don't mean chocolate cake. I mean food like fruits and vegetables. Speaking of chocolate cake, we need to discern between our educated or acquired desires and our innate body's needs. Your body does not need chocolate cake, so if you have a desire for it, well, it's not your body, any more than a smoker's desire for cigarettes is his body in need of nicotine. You may be listening to something, but it's not the innate intelligence of your body. If you've exercised regularly for any length of time, stopped, how do you feel? You feel out of sorts, just not quite right. That's your body telling you to get back into exercising. Your body tells you when you're not getting sufficient rest. Sometimes it's difficult to determine what our need is. Rest, exercise, dietary needs, or something else. But the solution is simple. Just improve in every area. That is often the problem. While our body tells us important information, we either ignore it, cover it up with drugs, pain is one of the most important of the body's messages, or we respond in an incorrect manner. As a result of these, we have lost the ability to listen. So, how do you regain it? How do you learn to listen again? Well, you listen. The more you listen, the better you will become at it, the easier it will be. Try sleeping, going to bed when you are tired, regardless of the time or the late TV monologue you want to catch. Tape it. Eat when you are hungry, really hungry, just until the hunger pangs go away, which takes very little. You may eat 6 or 7 times a day. That's okay. When you exercise, just exercise until your body says, enough. Don't push yourself. You're not training for a marathon. You're exercising. That's a whole other area. Here's the key. The more you listen to your body in the little things, the more you will begin to hear. You will sharpen your ability to hear. Remember, you have a smart body and innate intelligence. It can run the body. In fact, it's the only thing that can run the body. Here's an important point. If you don't understand this, you'll never be healthy. You may feel good, you may even look healthy, but you won't be. Here it is. Don't let anyone put you into a mold, or put yourself in one. Health is not a predetermined figure or standard. It doesn't hang on the wall in a health club. It cannot be acquired by feeling your pulse rate or by checking your body fat content. You cannot be healthy by conforming to someone's statistics, especially the federal government. If some federal bureaucrat says what is normal, well, I'm inclined to want to be just the opposite. Look at the people around you. Could you ever look like any of them? Of course not. Then why would anyone think that your body should function like theirs, or should have the same normal findings? You are a unique person. You can only look like you. That's the problem I have with buying clothes from a mail order catalog. Somehow the outfit never looks as good on me as it did on the male model in the catalog. Actually, you probably wouldn't want to look like most of the people around you. Of all the predetermined figures that are poor indicators, your looks, your physical appearance, is the worst. Jim Fix, a skinny guy who was the guru of running, dropped dead on one of his daily runs. He did not fit the picture of someone with a bad heart. Arnold Schwarzenegger had the greatest body in the world, on the outside. On the inside, well, his heart wasn't healthy. Not only is how you look a poor indicator, but arbitrary standards have little, if any, relationship to health. What should your blood pressure be at this moment? No one really knows. Only the wisdom within your body, this innate intelligence that we spoke of earlier, knows what your blood pressure, heart rate, insulin, adrenaline, cortisone levels should be. Why is it that these so-called normal levels change all the time? Cholesterol levels, blood sugar levels have changed over the years. Why? Because they don't know. They found, for example, that half the people with cholesterol levels in the normal range were still having heart attacks. So they said, let's lower the so-called normal more. They also found that people so-called normal blood sugar levels were not healthy. Where do they get these normal figures from anyhow? They might as well pick them out of the air or make them up. Moses sure didn't bring them down from the mountain. What they do, and this is the truth, they take a bunch of people who look healthy, and we already said what that means, nothing. Then they add up whatever function they're determining and divide by the number of people they look at. You know what that's called? Well, it's not called normal. It's called average. That's right, you're average. It's not normal blood pressure, heart rate, or cholesterol level. It's average. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be thought of as average. Do you think the average person is experiencing real health? Let's take something like body temperature. Every mom knows that normal is 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. It's printed right on the thermometer. How many kids every day have a thermometer stuck in their mouth or their ear or some other unpleasant place so mom can know if they're normal or not? If they're not, well, give them some aspirin or a cold bath. Do something to make them normal. Sorry, folks, but doing that kind of stuff is just not, well, it's just not normal. Let's look at an example. A little child begins to run a higher-than-average temperature. First reaction, well, we better bring it down. Beside the fact that if the kid's fighting off something, he or she doesn't need chemicals in the form of aspirin or a body shock with cold baths. But the most important question is, why is the body raising the temperature? Maybe the bacteria like 98.6 degrees. The body says, hey, let's burn them out. Did you know that the immune system works better at higher temperature? That more white blood cells are produced during a fever? Do you think under those circumstances it would be normal to raise the temperature a few degrees? Ah, but that's not average. We want you to be average, even if it's not in the best interest of your health. So, do you really want to be healthy? Okay, here are some things to do. Get rid of your scales. They don't tell you anything about health. Toss out the thermometer. There are more accurate ways to measure your health. Common sense being one of them. Forget the body mass index figures. Don't trust arbitrary figures for cholesterol, blood sugar, heart rate, blood pressure as having much of anything to do with health. If anything, they are measurements of disease or an absence of disease. But what we're talking about is health, and that simply doesn't relate to health. Remember, absence of disease or its symptoms does not mean you are healthy. Let your medical physician keep track of these figures and be concerned about them. Don't hurt his feelings by telling him they're nonsense, but remember, he is not interested in health, just in treating, curing, and preventing disease, and that's not health. Am I being too hard on these standards of normal and average? Well, perhaps, but at best these figures confuse people about health. At worst, they prevent people from doing the right things for their life and health, make you think you are healthy when you may not be, and that's dangerous, perhaps even life-threatening. Millions of people have normal cholesterol levels, and they're going to die of heart attacks. Millions of people are dieting to bring down their cholesterol levels to what someone says is normal, and they may be ignoring the real cause of a potential heart attack. That's the real danger in trying to conform to the national average. When it comes to matters of health, common sense is very important, yet it seems to be terribly lacking. Why do they call it common sense when it's so uncommon? Well, they call it common sense because it's not something that needs to be taught. Unfortunately, we are so educated, or should I say miseducated, that we have lost our common sense, just like we have lost the ability to listen to our body. We need to be retaught. Actually, we really only need to be reminded because common sense is there. Someone just needs to bring it out. Diets that say don't eat any fat or eat only fat, that doesn't make sense. It's common sense to have a well-balanced diet. Some years ago, a Nobel Prize winner advocated taking massive doses of vitamin C, about the equivalent of 3,000 oranges a day. Does that make sense that God created this wonderful body and designed it so that you need 3,000 oranges a day to be healthy? Common sense is really just responding to your body's messages that we talked about earlier. If you are tired, rest. If you are thirsty, drink something good for you. Hungry? Eat until the hunger is gone. We talked earlier about fevers, and I mentioned that they are often normal. That doesn't mean that you should ignore a fever. You need to make sure that you're doing common sense things to address the cause. If the body's not working right, get it working properly again. Don't think that because someone is educated, is a doctor, he has common sense. What I'd like to do is to undermine your confidence in a doctor, every kind of doctor, and get you to have confidence in your fantastic body, your own common sense, and doctors, when and if they make sense. Common sense is often overrided by our miseducation or habits. It's not common sense to put poisons and chemicals into your body, whether it's in the form of food, drink, air, or even drugs. All right, sometimes we choose to do it in the form of food and drink. Sometimes we cannot help it if you're confined to an airplane or on a street corner breathing in carbon monoxide. Sometimes it's necessary in the form of medicine. But they're still poisons, and we must realize they are detrimental to our health. Think about it. What are you doing or not doing? Ask yourself, does it really make sense? Is it addressing health or just feeling good, looking good, giving temporary relief, and at what cost? Is it going to make my life better? One of the most important concepts to understand in order to be healthy, and you really need to get this one, nobody has all the answers. It's great for a healthcare professional to have enthusiasm and confidence in themselves or their procedures. I know I do. But some really get carried away. They believe they have the answer to all of man's problems. You know the type. You get their advertisements in the mail. Well, there are no magic bullets, none for the treatment of disease, none for the attainment of health, none for the maintenance of health. If someone claims to have all the answers, steer clear of them. Nobody has all the answers for everything when it comes to health. Actually, nobody has all the answers for anything. Ask questions constantly. If you get answers, do they make sense? If you don't get answers, move on. Don't expect a professional to have all the answers. Recognize that professionals need to specialize. The human body is just that complicated that no one can understand it completely. Unfortunately, specialization has a limitation. It's sort of a catch-22. Anyone who tries to know everything about everything is probably going to fail in every way. However, anyone who specializes, well, he misses the big picture. That brings us to the final point. There are a lot of things you need to do to be healthy. It's not just a matter of taking some nutritional supplement. It's not just a matter of going to the gym 3 times a week. It's not just a matter of having a good mental attitude or getting the proper rest or eating well or anything else. It's doing everything and being consistent about it. Now there's another important point. Want to lose 20 pounds? You can exercise like crazy for 6 weeks, go on a diet, starve yourself, take certain drugs or supplements, but if you want to be healthy, you need a sensible lifetime exercise program. You need to eat good wholesome food consistently. You need to get the proper rest and everything else. There is another aspect of your health regimen. Let me repeat what I said because it's so important. Everything you need to do to be healthy, you need to do on a regular basis. Well, here's something else you need to do to be healthy, because health is being all you can be physically, mentally, and emotionally. You need to see your chiropractor regularly. You're probably saying, wait a minute, I thought chiropractic was good for bad backs and stiff necks. Well, that's a common misconception, just like eating good food will help you lose weight, or exercising regularly is good for heart problems, or getting rest and drinking fluids is good for the flu. The truth is that none of those things are good for those conditions. That's right, eating good food doesn't cause you to lose weight. Exercise doesn't help heart problems, and getting the proper rest and drinking fluids doesn't cure the flu. Those things do one thing only. They help your body work better. Now, if your body's working better because you're putting good food in it, the innate intelligence that we spoke of earlier will normalize your weight, and you will lose weight if you're carrying more than your body wants. If your body is working better as a result of regular exercise, all your muscles will be stronger and healthier, including that big muscle, the heart. The same is true for the flu. The innate intelligence of the body cures the flu, and can do it much better if it is working better. Rest and fluids can help it to work better, providing you need rest and fluids. Well, that's what chiropractic is all about, enabling your body to work better in one area. You see, this wisdom of the body controls and coordinates all the body's functions through the brain and nerve system. And when a vertebra becomes misaligned through the day-to-day activities and stresses of life, it interferes with the function of the nerve system. That cuts off the life messages to parts of your body, does it every time. That, in turn, causes the body to work less than it should every time. That causes the body to work less than it should. And a body not working as it should is simply not healthy and never will be healthy, physically, mentally, and emotionally, until and unless the interference is removed. That's what the chiropractor does, assist the body in adjusting these misaligned vertebrae that we call subluxation back into their proper place. So what does that do? Well, like good food, exercise, and rest, it enables the body to work better. That's not a cure any more than those things can cure you, but a body working better has greater ability to heal itself. Now, doesn't that make sense? Chiropractic is common sense. A body with a good nerve supply has to work better than one with a poor nerve supply. And we never know how much the innate intelligence of the body can accomplish when it's working better. Hey, if two simple things like rest and fluid can enable it to work better and cure the flu, imagine what the body can do with an improved nerve system. Most important, with a good nerve supply, the body can keep itself working properly. You can be a more adjusted, well-rounded person, adapting to every aspect of life. You see, every aspect of your life, your physical, chemical, your emotional, your mental well-being, are all depending upon the proper function of your nerve system. That involves our expanded definition of health. Your inherent potential for health, as we mentioned earlier, is dependent upon this innate intelligence and how well it is expressing itself over the nerve system. You're going to be listening to your body better if you have a good nerve supply. Well, make sure that lines of communication are open. The chiropractic recognizes that you are an individual, And that what is normal for you is not necessarily the same for everyone. As we said before, only the innate intelligence of your body can determine what is normal. The chiropractor is not going to try to conform anything about you to a national average. Merely enable the innate intelligence of your body to bring you to what is normal for you. Chiropractic is a common sense approach to life, like listening to your body, endeavoring to be normal rather than average, enabling life and health to express itself from inside out. Chiropractors do not have all the answers. In fact, they claim to have only one answer, for the need to have your nerve system expressing life as well as it possibly can. A chiropractor is not going to claim to have a cure, treatment, or even advice for medical conditions and diseases. That's the role of the medical physician. He is not going to take the place of any healthcare specialist. The only advice a chiropractor gives is to keep your nerve system free of interference under all circumstances. That brings us to one final point in this talk. Here's the last, but not the least important point that I can leave with you. Your life and health are your responsibility. There are a lot of people out there who have a lot of good information. There are a lot of talented and competent healthcare professionals, but none of them know your body like you do and are able to do for you what you can do for yourself if you follow the points I've shared with you today. No one is going to experience the consequences of you doing the wrong thing. No one is going to experience the benefits of you doing the right thing. Even if somebody could give you the best information regarding eating habits, you must put the food in your mouth. Even if somebody could give you the most perfect exercise program, you must do it and determine whether it is good for you. You are the only one who knows how much sleep you need and can get that amount. Even the best chiropractor cannot restore the life messages in your nervous system if you do not get to the office. No one has the ability that you have to do what is best for you. You have to take the responsibility to do what you should be doing. The ideas contained in this talk are very simple. No earth-shattering concepts. Carrying them out is a good deal of work, time, energy, and cost. But if you want to get the most out of life, be the best you can be in every area, live a long, healthy, and productive life, do all the things you want to do, well, you need to do everything you now know you should do to be healthy and to express more life. I wish you well in your quest for a healthy, happy life.